WRKC is proud to present the third season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 26th episode, Seeing Red.
I slowly and laboriously opened the door to my temporary office and slumped down in a badly upholstered chair, weary from a long night's work. Slowly but surely, we were getting these petty criminals back behind bars, where they belong. But it was a hell of a job. I was still a little sore from my beating at the hands of Lucas Snake Boots Abendino, a low-level hitman trying to make a name for himself. But thankfully, I had upped my booze regimen to a point where I couldn't really feel it. Or, for that matter, anything else anymore. Speaking of which, I think it's time for some medicine. I picked up some new liquor I'd never heard of from the store yesterday. The teller said it was pretty good. Called Vauduca. Huh. Apparently it's manufactured from potatoes and coal or something like that. I poured myself a glass. It smelled like paint thinner and gasoline and went down about as easily. The hell do people see in this?
Oh, Harry, is that you?
Damn, I'd forgotten that Marlo was attempting to get some sleep before she went out on her shift. She looked up at me, weary from the work she'd been doing too. Even so, there was an undeniably loving look on her tired face. I went over and placed a passionate kiss on her lips. Morning.
Evening.
She smiled at me as she rolled out of her makeshift bed and got herself a cup of old, stale coffee from the burner. Ever since the Snake Boots incident, Marlo and I had been hitting it off something fierce. Eating together, talking together. A group patrol here and there, among other things. She's a wonderful broad, kind, smart, and a decent, caring human being. She downed the coffee in a gulp, grimaced, then came up and started fixing my tie.
So, Harry, how was your patrol?
Good, we put away two more low-level enforcer types. I liked it the way it was.
It was a bit askew.
Oh. I wouldn't have noticed. Thanks.
So who was it this time?
Arturo the Goldmine Giovendo and Frederico Wasapamani Wasapamani.
Wasapamani Wasapamani? Is that like a hyphenated surname?
No, apparently the mafioso who created the nicknames was arrested when this Wasapamani guy was initiated.
I see.
I'll tell you, Marla. It felt good bagging those no good nicks. But I'll tell you one thing, though.
What's that?
It was nowhere near as good as being with you.
Oh, Harry.
I grabbed Marla, positioned her slowly into a sensual tango dip, and bent my head down to...
Oh dear sweet Jesus, I think I'm gonna vomit.
Completely dropped Marla at the sudden and unprompted entrance of Deborah. Oh jeez, Marla, are you alright?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Oh, I'm gonna go to my shift now. Bye.
Bye. Marla and I exchanged another kiss, Deborah watching all the while, looking physically ill. She was wearing a straw hat, a vibrant silk shirt, and a string of artificial neon-colored flowers around her bronze neck. At her side was none other than the king of quality footwear himself, Jimmy the Foot Converse, just as ridiculously dressed with two arms full of luggage. She turned to Jimmy, pointing with a flowered drink to the corner of the room.
Put him down over there, Jimmy, sweetie. I frickin' knew it. Me and some of the cops had an office pull on when it was going to finally happen. I was off about 3 weeks.
Deborah, back from Acapulco so soon?
Actually, Mr. Flynn, for your edification, I've been here since last Friday. It just seems that someone decided not to tell a certain someone else that their old office was burned down to the ground. I had to.
Deborah, I sent you a letter telling you about that 2 weeks ago.
Oh. You know I had a strict no Harry Flynn policy down in Acapulco. You know, come to think of it, I might still have that letter somewhere in here.
She pulled out a folded and bent envelope that had the look of being utilized as a coaster at some point or another.
Here it is. Dear Zebra, how is Acapulco? It better be pretty damn good because you've been gone for about a month now. Really, this is getting a bit excessive. Anyway, the important thing is when you decided to come back, the old office is burnt down to the ground. It's a long story, I'll tell you later. Call 555-6599, the new office phone number, for directions. Sincerely, Harry.
I know it's in the letter, I wrote it.
Oh yeah? Well, that was a pointless excursion of about 45 seconds, wasn't it?
I'd say so.
Well, where's my desk?
You're Deborah, you don't have a desk. This is it for now. I'll tell you what, you can have the rest of the time off until we find a suitable replacement area.
No, I'm good. I'll just use your desk. Ugh, what happened to your face? No, don't tell me, I don't want to know. Harry Flynn Detective Agency, Deborah speaking. Hold on, here he is. Phone!
It's so good to have you back. Hello?
Flynn, we've just received word of another mafioso sighting, Mr. Carmine Red Rodano. Down in the meatpacking district. Can you take a look?
Sure thing, Murdoch. It's not like I just got done with a shift or anything. And, may I say, you sound like you've recovered from your cold beautifully.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Bit of a throat thing. Anyway, swamped with work. Give me a call after you're done. Good night.
And with that, he slammed down the phone. I handed the receiver to Deborah, who was already so thoroughly engrossed in a tabloid that she was rendered completely useless.
Ah, watch where you're swinging that thing. You could put somebody's eye out.
She glared angrily at me, as if it was my fault that she was expected to resume her normal duties. I was too frustrated to respond, backing up directly into Jimmy the Foot.
Hey, watch it, Flynn!
Sorry, Jimmy. Hey, do you have a minute? We went out into the hall so as not to interrupt Deborah's important, you know. I can't even properly monologue about how angry she's made me in the past 5 minutes. She's a stuffy, annoying dame. There, that covers it.
You okay? You look like you want to take a bite out of the drywall.
I'm fine. Say, you used to be a mafioso, right?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, can you tell me anything about Carmine Rodano?
Yeah, not much. That a little recompense.
I thought you were on the straight and narrow now.
I am. Funny thing about the straight and narrow, it's really hard to walk on.
All right. Here, is this enough?
Yeah.
Fine. I pushed a handful of Hamilton into the breast pocket of his ridiculous shirt. God, I hope those don't catch on. Feels nice, though.
All right, what you want to know?
Anything and everything you can tell me.
Well, old Red's a bit of a softie as far as mobsters go. Also, he usually wears, like, a red undershirt.
Figured about as much. Anything else?
No, that's about... Boy, those are some of the sorriest excuses for shoes, buddy. You visit your mother with those loafers?
Well, thanks for your time. I have to get going. That was about as useful as attempting to find a gold vein in my office walls. I headed over to the bank, made a hefty withdrawal, and went to the one man I knew who could dish out the information I wanted to know.
Come in, come in. What can I... Oh, it's you, Flynn.
Been a while, Syl. Syl Sylvester Miller was about as low down and dirty as they come. He'd gotten a pretty hefty tie-in with the mob, then turned around and squealed on him if the price was right. Right now, he was fronting a local deli. The weasel looked ridiculous in a paper hat and grease-stained apron, but it suited him. I was wondering if you could help me with my cheese selection.
That depends. We talking American or imported?
Oh, imported all the way.
You want a little slice, or is this upwards of pounds?
Pounds and pounds of it.
One last thing. You looking sweet or salty?
As salty as they make it.
Well, then. May I suggest the Italian Pecorino Romano? On sale today for 15 cents a pound?
What? No, I'm looking for information.
Well, then why the hell did you say cheese selection? We're at a deli, you say cheese, and I think you want cheese. You don't even want the cheese, do you?
Sure, I'll take a pound. Are you going to help me or not?
Sure. Just not here. Meet me outside in a minute.
I waited for him outside, about a block away from his delicatessen. Sure enough, within 1 minute, he greeted me with a greasy smile and an outstretched hand. I gave him a very, very generous handshake. As a matter of fact, it was about a quarter of my savings generous.
Here's your cheese.
Thanks. Hey, that's not bad. Now, what can you tell me about Carmine Red Roldano?
Well, first off, he always wears red. Always. Secondly, he's a bit of a softy.
I've heard this all before. Get on with it.
Thirdly, and you didn't hear this from me, he's been shirking off work for Colizzoni.
He values his own life that little? That's a death sentence waiting to happen.
Not with the friends he's got. The rumor is Red's been working for the...
As Syl was talking, someone decided to pump him full of lead. Looks like Syl just became one of his own precious deli items. Swiss cheese!
Who wrote that? We just used that joke last episode. Oh, someone is getting fired.
That was me, sir. I had a bad night last night, just getting over a few things. I just let it get on top of me. It won't happen again.
You bet it's not going to happen again, because you're fired! Get out of here!
Anyway, at the same time, they dropped a large burlap sack right in front of me. The sack was a little too person-shaped to contain the potatoes it claimed to hold. Figured I knew who it was before I opened it. When I finally collected the courage to undo the drawstring, all I saw was the tattered cuff of a bright red shirt. Some friend's red.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Seeing Red, but first a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Bob, why the long face?
Looks like the boss scheduled a meeting from noon to three every day this week.
So?
Meetings are a boring waste of time. If only there was some way to get through them quickly using an over-the-counter pill.
Well, I've got almost just the thing. It's this new over-the-counter pill that quickly gets you through boring times.
That sounds like exactly what I need.
It's not exactly approved by the FDA, but anyone who listens to that kind of silly government agency is a coward or a communist anyway.
I agree. Why don't you tell me about it?
I can do you one better. I can have this guy tell you about it.
Do you find yourself spending long amounts of time bored in meetings, classes, or at work? Do you enjoy going to movies and wish you could take them with you? Are you not afraid of numbness, weakness, nausea, hypothermia, goosebumps, increased heart rate, lockjaw, tremors, extreme panic attacks, and potentially permanent psychosis? Wow, that took a turn for the worse quickly. Well, wait no more. Now, there's a solution that means you'll never have to be bored again. Introducing Movie Pills, the latest breakthrough from Hoffman Pharmaceuticals.
You mean I can watch all my favorite movies anytime I want?
Don't be ridiculous. Movie pills are tiny capsules that, when swallowed, will produce effects including extremely lifelike, and sometimes terrifying, hallucinations for a short period of time. Simply choose whether you want a 1, 2, or 3 hour dose, and let yourself drift through a haze of confusing mental projections. As Professor Boring Pants lectures on about the boring history of the 12 boring hundreds, you'll be surrounded by lights and colors. But don't take my word for it. Listen to these testimonials.
I have a 2-hour commute to get to work every single day, and it's along the same tedious highway. So I just pop a couple of movie pills as I climb into the car, and the time passes so quickly I can't even remember driving. Oh God, what was that?
My 18th century history of Russian mining class is a real snorefest. But with movie pills, I can sit back and enjoy it without learning anything. Now, if only I could get this damn pink giraffe to stop following me around.
My husband had a really boring job, so he started taking movie pills and things got much better. Then he chewed off his arm. I wouldn't suggest taking movie pills.
Well, I would. So, what do you say, Tom? Going to get some movie pills?
You know, in retrospect, probably not. That list of side effects was pretty terrifying.
If you're smarter, braver, and more attractive than Tom, call Hoffman Pharmaceuticals at 1-800-HOFFMAN. That's 1-800-HOFFMAN. Call within the next 15 minutes and mention this ad and we'll throw in an experimental set of 8-hour all-day movie pills for free. With value like that, you'd be insane not to call. Note. 8-hour all-day movie pills have been proven to cause serious long-term physiological changes, including permanent hallucinations, pervasive panic disorder, and insanity. Less than 5% of patients also reported growth of a tail that may become permanent.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I took a ride with the patrol car on that beat down to the county coroner's office. Waiting inside was a man I dealt with once before. A cold, unkempt, and uncaring man with a tight fedora and a glazed look in his eyes. Nice tie, though. He was reading an older-looking book, German title. He didn't notice me until I knocked on one of the empty gurneys.
Hello, Mr. Flynn. What can I do for you?
I need some information about Red.
You know the setup, Harry. I get the money, you get the answers.
All right, reach into Sylvester's front pocket. That enough for you?
That's a good amount. Let's see. Time of death within the past 24 hours. I'd guess about 2 to 3 hours ago. Cause of death? My memory's growing fainter. I think I need some more encouragement.
Oh, come on! That's a huge portion of my savings!
Well then, I guess you won't get the information, will you?
Fine. Then I'll tell the police you're picking the pockets of some of the residents down here. I'm sure that'll look great on a coroner's report.
All right, fine. Cause of death is a collapsed windpipe on top of a broken neck.
Don't you mean one or the other?
No. I mean this man was strangled so hard his airway collapsed and his neck was broken. Pulverized would be a more apt term. Whoever did this to him means business.
Thanks again, Thaddeus. Oh, one more thing. What book is that?
Das Kapital by Marx.
Which one? Groucho, Harpo, or Zeppo?
Karl.
Never heard of him. Must not be funny. I left Thaddeus looking about as frustrated and vexed as his ice block of a face could get. You know, it figures, as long as I'm in the neighborhood, I should head up to the police headquarters to talk over the situation with Chief Brulé.
Yeah, what do you want?
Officer Brulé?
Chief Brulé. Chief. A little accent over the E.
All right, Chief Brulé. I'd like to know who was the last officer to talk with Carmine Red Rodalno.
What do I look like, a secretary? Cheryl!
Yes, Mr. Brulé?
Help Mr. Finn here find out whatever he's jabbing on about.
Yes, sir. Right this way, Mr. Finn.
Flynn, it's Flynn. Could you tell me who the last person was to...
Private Secretary to Police Chief Warren Brulé, you are speaking to Cheryl. How may I help you? Just a moment, sir.
What are you doing?
One moment, please, sir. I'm humming for them so that they don't go crazy waiting. I think it peps them up.
That's one of the single dumbest ideas I've ever heard. Forget this. I'm going through the records myself. I stormed down to the police records, poring through the entries from the past couple of months. I finally found Red's arrest records, written and compiled by an old familiar friend, Officer Spinelli. I owed him a visit in general, so I hailed down a cab and had it take me over to his tiny, lonely apartment complex. The lights were on, and people were certainly home. I could see a figure, whom I believed to be Spinelli, silhouetted with a figure creeping menacingly up behind him. Quickly, I pulled out my piece and ran up the stairs. Ugh! Freeze, you lowlife! Oh, hello, Travis.
Harry, what are you doing here?
The person who I believed to be creeping up menacingly on Spinelli was in reality his ex-wife, Cora or Ginger or whatever her name was, bringing him a blanket and some soothing tea, the contents of which were now spilled all over his apartment floor. Spinelli looked... well, I still wouldn't use the word good. He looked... better. World's better than he did, at least. I put away my piece with a sheepish smile on my face. Sorry about the mess. Here, let me clean it up.
Oh, I'll help you too. If it wasn't for my nerves, I'd still be holding that, see?
Hey, Missy, just what do you think you're trying to do?
I'm just trying to help Travi get through right now, alright?
Look, you... Travi? You wrecked him when you left, you know, do you know that? And now you think you can just waltz in and everything will be forgiven?
No, I don't. I'm just trying to help and see where it goes from there. This horrible thing made me realize how much I love him and... I don't want to let him go again!
Maybe I'd misjudged her after all. We cleaned up the tea together. Afterwards, Spinelli and I sat down for some good old reminiscing and a deep heart-to-heart.
Well, Harry, it's nice to see you again, but I have a feeling the visit's not just about the good old days.
No, but I wish it was. What can you tell me about Carmine Red Roldano?
A little. We got him down in the meatpacking district. He's a little more violent and edgy than usual. You know he's a big softy, right?
So I've heard.
Anywho, when we cuffed him, he said something along the lines of, my friends will hear about this, and when they do, boy, they're gonna be mad. And then that was it.
And how long ago was this?
About, 2 years ago.
2 years? Some friends, huh?
Yeah. Why are you so curious, if you don't mind me asking?
Somebody dumped the poor sap off the side of a building in a potato sack.
Yikes. What do you think did it?
Well, word on the street was he was shirking Colazione jobs. It's either Colazione or his friends. I wish I could stay and chat, but I have to go do some more research. By the way, how are those golf clubs treating... Oh my god, Spinelli, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Have fun out there.
I walked down the stairs out into the street. Something just didn't feel right. I walked slowly, attempting to be aware of every noise, every minute change of light. Apparently, it wasn't good enough. When I came to, there was a bag over my face. I felt my arms were tied to a chair, feet as well. There was a gag in my mouth, and something was blocking my ears. The only two things I could feel was the pain from the beating I'd just received and the bone-gnawing cold of the room I was in. After what felt like an hour, someone came over and loosened my bag. The man grabbed it by the top and yanked it off so powerfully that I received whiplash. I could hear a room full of muffled laughter all around me. I looked up at a tall, muscular, shadowy figure wearing black dress pants, a white dress shirt, and suspenders. He took a black cigarette from out of his shaded mouth and blew it carelessly on me.
Well. What do we have here? Hmm? The city's own favorite son, Harry Flynn.
He came towards me, his face now in focus. It was not a pretty face. He had a prominent brow, his nose had been broken several times. He had thick, veal-like lips and jet-black hair. His face was stoic, but his eyes burned with a dark intensity. I looked around and found the answer for the paralyzing cold. We're in a meat refrigerator. All around me were surly-looking stocky men and one very surly stocky dame, playing cards, drinking that disgusting potato drink from before. However, most attention seemed to be on the man in front of me. The man took another drag of his cigarette. Who are you?
My name is Vlad Pronset, and you did a very bad thing to a cousin of mine. He was impatient. Could not wait until our little organization took off. He decided to take an odd job for Mr. Colazion. He tried to kill you, you remember?
That monster they sent after us in the smelting outfit.
Ah, him. You killed him. So in all fairness, we should kill you. But I have decided you will be made an example of.
An example, huh? Like you made an example out of Red.
Yes. Mr. Aldono was, experiment of sorts. We tried bringing him over to our side. Then, when we realized our error, we cut our losses and let him be.
But then he tracked you down, and you made him an example.
And who said Westerners are idiots, eh? We want you to be the, courier of our message.
Oh, yeah? And what would that message be? He pulled up a chair and sat in it backwards, his face an inch from mine, and pulled into a smile.
The message, my friend, is this. We are the Russians, and we have arrived. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Flynn, there is a ballet in 30 minutes, and I would not like to miss it. Bridget!
The very surly-looking card player from before walked over to Vlad. She was wearing a thick jacket and a newsboy cap. Looked about as intelligent as a $2 bill.
Could you continue where I left off?
Duh.
Excellent! Have a pleasant evening, Mr. Flynn!
Vlad put on the remainder of his outfit and was escorted out of the refrigerated room, while I was being mercilessly beaten by Russian thugs of all different sizes. Eventually, they threw me out onto the street, with a note attached to me in Cyrillic alphabet. A cop car came and pulled in front of me.
Harry? Harry, oh my god, what happened?
Marla?
Oh god, call an ambulance!
I remember drifting in and out of consciousness, like a lucid dream. When I came to, I was in the hospital, so thoroughly wrapped I couldn't even maneuver my pinky. The doctors told me to take a week off, then to take it nice and slow for a good month. I don't know if I can heed the doc's advice, however. I thought things were crazy before. God help us when the Russians get involved.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Seeing Red, was written by Lucas Tomasacci and Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah and Student, Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Jennifer Momenzada as Marla, Widow, Secretary, Grace, and Bridget the Surly Russian, Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, Bob, Thaddeus, Sill, and Director, and Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Spinelli, Vlad, Tom, Businessman, Jimmy, Writer, and Chief Roulet.